What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Today is Thursday, September 29th, 2022. As always, on Thursday, a lot of football talk. We're going to get into the Cleveland Browns, the AFC North, the whole NFL slate. We're also going to get into Ohio State football, college football, Big Ten slate, a look at some of the best matchups of the weekend. We are also going to just have a fun Thursday talk, Thursday thought segment at the end of the show. But before we do all that, as we always do on Thursday, we're going to bring in Austin Malutik of Malutik Live. He is kind of our high school football expert, which I always claim I know my sports pretty well, but when it comes to the high school football world and gridiron, that is not my forte. So Austin is here to help us out with that. Austin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're in a parking lot somewhere, huh?
I am. We're at Cricket's. I got laid out of a meeting, so I just pulled into here to talk to you guys.
Cricket's as in like the bar in Struthers?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Really good wings there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
It's been like a few years since.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your go-to, by the way, at Cricket's?
I like the hamburgers. They're pretty good here. French fries aren't bad. This is actually a Browns bar. It's a Browns, Browns bar on Sunday. So I've never been here for a Browns game. This is the Browns bar, actually.
Okay. Well, free plug to Cricket's here for any Browns fans. We want to get out there on Sunday. So, Austin, let's get into it a little bit. High school football in our area, obviously, it's picking up. We are deep into the season already. So let's talk real quick before we look ahead to this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about last weekend. Who were some of the top performers in our area?
I mean, I feel like every week, Justin, we keep saying Vinny Ballone. The kid threw 6 touchdowns in the first half last week again. I mean... And I hate to be this guy, but I got told he was going for the record tomorrow. You got Sebring in town. He wants to break his own record from 9 to 10. They said he's doing it tomorrow. So it's going to be interesting to see. But if I had to pick one player from last week, obviously Drew DeShears from West Branch threw another five touchdowns last week. But Donovan Pulowski from Brookford, that's a name that I don't think anyone's talking about. He had 6 touchdowns last week, 4 passing, 2 rushing. He played another big game last week. Obviously, they get a big one with Garford come up in a few weeks. That's probably going to be for the conference. But Donovan Pulowski played really well again last week against a very good Crestview team.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay. All right. So, I mean, you had mentioned, obviously, Vinny Ballone, and, I have seen... and through your page and through several other sites that he is just like absolutely lighting up the record board, not in our area, but throughout the entire country. Maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this kid's unbelievable. He's only, 15, 16 in the records he's breaking. And I said this on my show last night. I don't care who you play, what conference you're in. You're still playing against kids your same age. The kids, same level. It's all Division VII. And, I mean, they've played some D6 schools, but you go out there and just do what he does, especially only in the first half, Justin. Like, he's throwing 6 touchdowns in the first half. He threw 5 in the first quarter last week against Waterloo. And Waterloo's a decent football team in Division VI. So to go out there and perform like that, I mean, he's tying Joe Burrow, Ben Roethlisberger records right now. This kid's on a pace to have his own record broken, especially in Lovo. It's already been broken. But, I mean, for 10 touchdowns, if he does it tomorrow, that's going to be insane.
That's awesome. Love to see it. Love to see it. So, Austin, let's shift to this weekend's top matchup. So, give me a few of your top games of this coming weekend.
Well, first, if I had to pick one team that has a very crucial game this week, I have to go with the Borman Spartans. They come in 4-2. They have a very, very important game at home against Warren Harding. Harding's 1-5, but Harding's still a good football team. We know who they play. We know what their record is, and we know what their talent level is. This is a very important game for Boardman because you're going to have to finish the season off with the Fitches, the Canfields. Boardman's not going to win another game, I personally don't think, after Friday night, if they can pull this one out. Be at 5-5 and get in the playoffs. That's probably where Boardman's going to stand. But if Boardman loses this game, it's going to be hard for them to get in. This is why I think it's a very crucial game for Boardman.
So a must win for the Spartans, it sounds like, early on. Well, not early, but midway through the season here. And I'm a former Boardman grad, and I remember going, like, I was, when I played, it was the Steel Valley Conference. So Warren, you know, Boardman, Fitch, Mooney, Ursulin, and like those rivalries are still intact to this day, at least, you know, Warren and Boardman in the AAC as it stands now. So any other games to look for this weekend, Austin?
Yeah, I think there's a couple actually to look for. And you just mentioned one of the Mooney. I mean, you look at Mooney, they get Ursulin week 10, obviously. They have a tough one next week with Warren Harding. Are you probably going to win those two games? Probably not. But you get Brush this week. They're 2-4. If Mooney wants to get in the playoffs, they got to win this week. They're obviously going to get an easy win next week. I don't know who it is off the top of my head, but I know the team they play next week's not good. So if you're Mooney, you're going to be 5-3 heading into that Warren Harding game, heading into the Ursulin game. You're probably going to lose those both games. Mooney can get in 5-5, but they got to win these next 2 weeks. It's going to be crucial for them.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. And Austin, every week you release a power rankings. You and one of your you know, your people behind the scenes there at Malutic Live. So give us let us hear your power rankings in the area. At least I don't know if you have them on you, if you remember them, but the best of your abilities.
Well, you're throwing this one at me, Justin. I wasn't ready for this. But no, I think obviously no matter what the result was last week, Austintown Fitch and TJ Parker played a really good football team in Madison, Washington. I still have Austintown Fitch as my number one team in this area. I think that they have dynamic players all over the field, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. Number two, obviously got thrown up in the air last week when Ursulin beat Cheney. So I'm definitely giving it to Ursulin right now. They have the edge over Cheney. I got Cheney at 3 right now, South Range at 4. You know, South Range obviously undefeated, but I like Ursulin, Cheney, and Fitch a little more than South Range right now. After that, I mean, you got a lot of D5, D6, D7 schools that I have in there. You got Valley Christian, Brookfield, and Lover all in the mix. And Justin, I tell you what, from what happened last week with Gerard, obviously you lose to South Range, but you lose not only that, you lose your quarterback, Nick Belenga, for the season. They get Poland this week. That's a crucial game for Poland. I think you're going to see the Lovels, the Valley Christians, and Brookford all move up this week.
Uh-oh.
You know, especially for – sorry, no, I got a phone call. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
especially if they lose, especially if Gerard loses this week, which it's going to be tough to win in Poland with the backup quarterback who's only a sophomore, haven't got really many snaps. So that's going to be a crucial game to look at as well. But, I mean, Lovel, Brookford, Valley Christian can definitely move up. And JFK too. You know, obviously JFK had a tough one last week, but if they can get a big one this week at home against Rootstown, they're also 5-1. They can definitely be in the mix too for the last four. And then obviously Southern Local was undefeated as well. No one's talking about them up there in Salinasville, but right now they're cruising at 6-0 with two big matchups still to play with Valley and United.
Okay. All right. Very good. So as you mentioned, you know, Austintown Fitch is probably the cream of the crop in this area. Ursulin not too far behind. And some really, really good schools up there. Our area is loaded with those mid-level schools. No more D1 schools in our area to me, which is crazy. You know, it used to be Boardman, used to be Harding, used to be Fitch, and a lot of powerhouses in that Division I. You know, region. But now there's some really good Division II schools and going down to the smaller schools. We have a lot of really, really good football teams in our area. So thank you for touching on that, Austin. So Austin, I'm going to give you a couple minutes here. If you want, give me some other thoughts around the sporting world. If you want to talk Buckeyes, Browns, whatever you want, throw out some thoughts.
Well, let's start with the positive. Not the positive, but, I mean, everyone's winning right now in Cleveland, but the Guardians, right? You see them again last night. You should have won two nights ago, but you're falling extras. The way they came back again last night, you had that rain delay. Eli Morgan comes out there in the seventh with one out, bases loaded, and gets double play ball big after the rain delay. Come out and go to extras again after a rain delay and get the win. Crucial. Obviously, we know we locked up the division, but we're still playing for who we're going to see in the first round. We're either going to see Seattle or Tampa, I think. Right now, I'd rather play Tampa. I think you don't want to face Seattle in the first round. I'd rather play Tampa for sure. Obviously, it's going to be
He's a popular guy. He's a popular guy getting all these phone calls.
Obviously, another crucial game for the Guardians tonight. And if they win, and I think Seattle wins as well, we will end up playing Tampa. But like I said, there's still a few games left to go. Cavaliers right now, obviously, you know, they're getting underway next week. Preseason starts already. I was looking first week of October. You know, we're going to see what they can do. I think that they're really going to compete with the Milwaukee in the AL this year in the NBA conference, because, you know, you get Donovan Mitchell in the offseason. That's huge for this Cavaliers team. You got him now and Garland and Love. Obviously Mobley, Jared Allen. You can look at 3-4 all-stars right there, Justin, from this team. I think Ohio State quickly, they cruise again this weekend. I don't see Rutgers being any competition at all. YSU obviously has a tough one this week at North Dakota State. YSU hasn't won there in a while. Doug Phillips has never won there. That's going to be a tough one. I wish I was going, but that's just too far of a hike for us. So hopefully YSU can pull it off this week. The Browns, I'm still questionable on them. If Myles Garrett plays, we still don't know. But if he plays, I'm hoping that the Browns, they should win this game easily. Atlanta's on a good football team. And hopefully, you know, get a big win before coming home to play the Chargers team, who's banged up right now.
Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. Austin, appreciate your time. Go grab a burger at Crickets, and hopefully I'll get down there soon and grab some wings at some point. But Austin, again, thanks for joining us, and we'll get back in touch next week.
Justin, always a pleasure. Stay safe. Have a good weekend.
You too. You too. Thanks, man. All right, so Austin Malutik of Malutik Live joins us on Thursdays. Appreciate him sharing his thoughts on the high school football scene around the Mahoning Valley. So, again, that was our kind of our first down segment. We're going to get into just some quick thoughts here. And, you know, Austin touched on, hey, the positive around Cleveland right now, obviously the Guardians. The Guardians, and I'm just going to briefly, we're just going to have a small segment here, but as Austin mentioned, the Guardians are going to be pretty much locked in at the 3 seed in the playoffs. So it's going to be the Astros 1, New York Yankees 2, and the Guardians will be the 3 seed. So you'll have 3 wild card teams, probably Toronto, and then it's going to most likely be Tampa or the Seattle Mariners, and whoever that ends up being that 6 seed is who the Guardians will face, because the 1 and the 2 seeds will get first round byes. And the cool thing about what the Guardians get to do, they get to host all 3 games at Progressive Field. So obviously it's 1-2, best out of 3. So hopefully they only have to host 2 games and you can move on and probably face the Yankees in the second round here. But we'll see who they end up playing to finish out the season, you know, and where those teams land. So Guardians, the key number, I'm going to throw this out. The number of the day for the Guardians is the number 28. And that number is really, really good because that is their number of wins in their last at bat. That actually broke the record from the 1995 team. So if you remember in 1995, Indians went to the World Series. Albert Bell, you know, Jim Thome, Kenny Lofton, Carlos Baerga, you go down the list, Omar Vizquel, just a plethora of great talent on that team. That team had 27 last at bat wins. This team set the record last night for last at bat wins with 28. So just an amazing, amazing year this youngest team in baseball, can't harp on that enough, has done. So great stuff for the Cleveland Guardians. That's where we're at now. So they will await their playoff matchup. And again, it will either be the Seattle Mariners or the Tampa Bay Rays, who they have one more game against tonight. And luckily for Tampa, it appears that Hurricane Ian didn't affect the city a whole lot. So obviously a lot of thoughts and prayers with the people down in Florida, but you know, it appears Tampa kind of missed the brunt of that hurricane last night. So the Guardians sitting at 87-68. So we will check in with them next week and hopefully know the playoff matchup for you next Tuesday. So We're going to move on now to the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, another positive in the city of Cleveland right now. So right now we are into week four. You know, you knocked off Carolina week one. Unfortunately, had a just a last two minute meltdown against the Jets. You take care of business against the Steelers last Thursday night. And now you get that nice little mini bye as you head in to the game with the Atlanta Falcons, the Dirty Birds, this weekend. I think that was Jamal Anderson who used to do the Dirty Bird dance with them back in the late 90s. So AFC North, we're going to take a look back from last week and take a look forward to this week. So last week, you got the Browns, obviously, took care of business against the Steelers, 29-17. This week, we're going to talk about their game with the Atlanta Falcons plenty here in a minute. The Ravens last week defeated the New England Patriots 37-26. This weekend, they are home against the Buffalo Bills, two of the highest flying top scoring teams in the league. Lamar Jackson is setting all kinds of records right now. Obviously, you got the Bills and Josh Allen coming in. So that should be a very, very intriguing matchup. One of the best games of the weekend. The Steelers obviously lost to the Browns last weekend. This week, they are home against those New York Jets. They're only a 3-point favorite in this game. That should be a very, very intriguing matchup with the Jets and the Steelers this weekend in Pittsburgh. And then tonight, you have the Cincinnati Bengals, who last week took care of the Jets. This tonight will play the Miami Dolphins, coming off that big win over the Buffalo Bills. Miami Dolphins are a very, very good team through the first 3 weeks of the season. One of two undefeated teams. You have the Philadelphia Eagles and the Miami Dolphins, the only two 3-0 teams in the entire NFL. So we are going to get into our matchup here. Thursday's, I like to talk to you guys a little bit about our matchup, and Joe and I are going to talk a little expectations with the Browns and Falcons this week. So let's get to know our opponent a little bit, the Atlanta Falcons. So let's take a look at some of their offensive numbers first. So rushing, they are actually fifth in the NFL in rushing at 157 yards a game. Passing, they're a very similar team to the Browns as offense goes. So they're averaging less than 200 yards passing, which is 26th in the league. The Browns are right behind them at 27. Again, they're 157 yards rushing. The Browns are actually number one in that category with 190 yards a game. And Atlanta is one of two teams in the NFL to score 26 or more points in each game. The other team, the Cleveland Browns. So should be very interesting this weekend. Couple players to look out for on the offensive side of the ball. Cordell Patterson. He is a 10, 11 year veteran in the league. This guy was drafted out of Tennessee, first round wide receiver with the Vikings, and was an excellent, excellent kickoff returner. He's actually has 8 kick return touchdowns, which is the all time record in the NFL. He is a 4-time all pro as a kick returner. Last year, keep in mind, last year was his, I believe, his 9th year in the NFL. Turned him into a running back. How many times, Joe, have you seen a running back wear a number 84? I've never seen it in my life. So you're going to see the ball in number 84's hands a lot as a running back for the Atlanta Falcons. That should be really, really interesting. He is actually 3rd in the league in rushing yards with 302. So basically averaging 100 yards per game. Marcus Mariota, the former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from Oregon, is their quarterback, kind of traveled veteran around the league, not lighting it up. 63%, 640 yards, 3 touchdowns, also 3 interceptions on the season. His main 2 targets are going to be the rookie out of USC, Drake London, who was the number 8 pick in this year's NFL draft. So he is putting up some decent numbers. And then Kyle Pitts, listen to these stats for Kyle Pitts. He was the 6th overall pick in the 2021 draft. The Falcons are 4-0 when he has 80 or more receiving yards, and they are 4-12 when he is under. So what does that tell you? Stop Kyle Pitts. Do not let Kyle Pitts get loose in the passing game. Do not let Marcus Mariota get off in the passing game. And the Browns should be somewhat okay if they're able to keep Cordell Patterson in check. Defensive side of the ball, not nearly as impressive for the Atlanta Falcons. So they are allowing about 109 rushing yards a game, which is kind of middle of the pack there, but they're averaging nearly 300 passing yards given up per game, 288 per game, which is 27th in the league. They're also allowing 27 points per game. So I mentioned they're only one of two teams to score more than 26 points a game. However, they're giving that up on the defensive side of the ball. So the Browns should be able to move the ball and hopefully play a little keep away from that Atlanta offense. They have 9 new starters on the defensive side of the ball this year. But the two guys that are back are Grady Jarrett, the big defensive tackle. He has 11 tackles, 2.5 sacks on the season. And then AJ Terrell, who has kind of been picked on this year, you know, a very good corner, but he's given up a touchdown in every single game this year, the first 3 weeks of the season. So if we look back at their season so far, a 27-26 loss to the New Orleans Saints, a 31-27 loss to the defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams. And then last week they went into Seattle and pulled out a 27-23 win over the Seattle Seahawks. So that's where they stand this year. Let's flip it and let's go to the other side of the ball and let's go to the Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns offense per game, they are doing extremely well. They are 6th in the NFL right now in scoring at 28.6 points per game. Not lighting it up in the passing department. However, they're one of one of the bottom 5 teams in pass attempts this year. So when you're not attempting a ton of throws, you're obviously not going to accumulate a ton of yardage. So just under that 200 yard mark, which is 27th in the league, but again, first in the league in rushing yards. So basically they're slightly under 400 yards a game, which is really solid. But when you are pounding the ball in the run game, you are also controlling the clock, which is unbelievable that they have dominated time of possession in the first 3 matchups and first 3 weeks. They have only allowed 4 sacks this entire year. I think Baker probably would have been sacked about 8 to 10 times already based on the per game, the first 3 weeks. But Jacoby Brissett has only been sacked 4 times and also has not put the ball in harm's way. He has not thrown those, bad mistake balls for the defense to just go up and grab. The Browns also are 2nd in the entire NFL with 74 first downs this year, and they are sitting with a +2 turnover margin. So pretty good stats there. Defensively, the part of the team that we thought would be the strongest coming into the season has not been terrible, but they also haven't been great this year. So the Browns defense right now allowing 24 points a game, which is 23rd in the NFL. They are allowing about 255 passing yards a game, which is 19th, but they're holding opponents to only 84 rushing yards a game, which is 7th best in the entire NFL. So pretty good stats there. So Joe, based on those statistics, what do you think about the Browns' overall healthiness as a team this year? Offense, defense, whatever.
Man, this is a scary game because the one thing we need to happen is we need our DBs to step up and play a defensive game.
Yeah.
We're not going to, we're not going to have pressure on the quarterback like we normally do.
Yeah.
So he's going to have way more time in the pocket to do his thing. So our DBs got to play it clean and they got to play it, well, man to man,
Yeah, exactly. And I saw the injury report for the Browns, and obviously Myles Garrett's on there with the car accident, but they have not ruled him out. He wants to play by all accounts.
Please don't.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If Myles Garrett is medically cleared to play, why not play him?
I mean, I've been in a car wreck before. Like, your butt is beat up. Like, if there's one injury that comes because somebody didn't let their body heal, they'll be hell to pay.
Okay. Now, this is just my biased opinion, maybe, as a Browns fan. Now, I obviously don't want any lingering issues, but if the team doctors and maybe even an independent party say, hey, he's fine to play as long as he wants to play, I say play him. He cleared.
But remember, those doctors let Baker Mayfield go out there with his wing hanging by a couple of tendons.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. This is Miles freaking Garrett, though. This guy is built like Superman. And but you're right, though. Like anybody that's been in a car accident, you know those nagging, lingering pains.
The neck things, exactly. The leg things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are my fears.
Plus, you got to get on a plane, fly down to Atlanta, go through warmups. By all accounts, he was not in the team facility yesterday, but he will be there. I'm guessing they're done with practice by now, but they will be there today. So,
but I think we'll honestly, if our offense lights it up and we get those playmakers, if we get DPJ in there and he has a stellar game, and then we can keep their offense managed with our defensive back and our linebackers, I honestly think we come out, squeak it by. I'm not going to say we're going to be a blowout this time. But, you know, maybe a field goal advantage.
I would put Atlanta in the category of a frisky team, a team that you didn't think was going to be very good coming into the year. But they have a sneaky good offense. Drake London, like I mentioned, from USC. Kyle Pitts is one of the most athletic tight ends in the league, right up there with your boy Njoku. And, you know, they are just freakishly good. Yeah. So we'll see. The quarterback, Marcus Mariota is kind of average. I would say Jacoby Brissett's a little bit better than him. But the Browns are going to win this game based on controlling the clock, running the ball, and like you said, kind of having those corners step up and lock down those receivers.
Yeah, and honestly, if our running game is anything that was these last one, that's what's going to make or break this game.
I agree. Because, you look at those statistics and both teams are able to run the ball. So it's going to be something's got to give. Which team is going to be able to hold that other team in check a little bit more? And the way Nick Chubb is playing, the way Kareem Hunt's playing, the way the Browns offensive line is playing, I give the edge to the Browns in that. But you got to cap off those drives. You got to get in the end zone. No more field goals. You got to get in the end zone. So
now, did I see we were making some moves for defensive ends here?
Yeah.
For the short term.
So, what did we end up doing? So, obviously, we don't know Miles' status right now. Jadeveon Clowney, who is a wrecking ball himself, has some sort of ankle injury. I don't know if it's a sprain. I don't know exactly what it is. So I have not seen his status, but he was listed as questionable as of this morning. Your third guy is Chase Winovich, who's now on injured reserve. He's out. So you bring in, you got Tommy or. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. So you have got Isaac Rochelle, who's up from the practice squad. You got a guy you just signed off the streets that was on, I think it was Weatherly, that was a former player for the Browns. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Isaiah Thomas, the rookie out of Oklahoma. So it's going to be a very young, inexperienced front if Garrett and or Clowney does not play, especially if both of them do not play. So we'll see. Mm. That's going to make a big difference. And you're going to be playing a lot of young guys. And you have your green sticker guy, Anthony Walker, who got hurt last week. So that shifts to Jacob Phillips, who's going to have to step up and play big minutes at linebacker too. So
now I'm definitely going to take, I don't even know what the over under is, but I'm taking the over no matter what.
Okay.
I think this is going to be a high scoring game
because
the defensive are a little bit lackluster. It's going to happen no matter what.
Okay.
So I think our offenses on both sides of the ball are going to.
All right.
Yep.
All right, you're teasing into a segment coming up here. In just
see,
a
I
minute.
Always do that.
No, I love freaking. No, I love that. I love that. You're just setting it out there. It's like a piece of cheese out there we can chase.
Cheese.
I do want to talk briefly on Myles Garrett. As we know, he was in a. From what it looked like, I just so glad he came out uninjured, like from with a serious injury. Not even worried about football, worried about life. But Myles Garrett is currently only a half of a sack behind Clay Matthews, who a lot of Browns fans probably remember as the number one sack artist. I don't even know what to call it, whatever verb you want to put in there.
A sackist.
Sounds a little dirty, doesn't it?
The show is dirty. That is our theme.
the sackiest of the sackers. But Myles Garrett is only a half a sack behind Clay Matthews. But if you look at those numbers, Clay Matthews, Clay Matthews played from 1978 to 1993. That is unheard of. Three freaking decades, three separate decades. But he had 62 sacks. But how many games? 232 games. Miles Garrett has 61 and a half sacks in 71 games. So almost a sack per game, or 0.9, however you want to do the math there. And then Michael Dean Perry. You remember Michael Dean Perry? I remember he used to have a McDonald's commercial, and it was like a Big Mac or something like that. So Michael Dean Perry was third on that list. And those guys are the only three in Cleveland Browns history with 50 or more sacks in their career, in their Cleveland Browns career. So very good. So Joe, you had just teased the over under. So I'm going to call this segment "For Better or For Worse." So, so the line.
Tour, I get it.
See what I did there? It's all semantics, all semantics. But the line is currently right now sitting at the Browns are favored by 2. Now, again, this will depend on what sites you use. I like to use VSiN. I like to use Caesars. But these are the two sites I went through for some of these, for some of these bets. So as of this morning, the Browns were a 2-point favorite in this game. The over-under was 48.5 at last check. Now, that might shift. That might go up depending on, again, if Myles Garrett doesn't play, if we know for sure Jadeveon Clowney won't play. If you want to bet the money line, just the Browns to win straight up, you would have to lay $130 to win $100. If you want to bet the Falcons straight up, you would have to lay $100 to win $110. So that's how that works there. Now, Joe, before we go through some of these picks, I thought just maybe a few prop bets just for fun. So do you remember Nick Chubb just a couple weeks ago was like in the 50s or 60s with rushing yards? His rushing total this week is 114.5. What do you think about that?
Man.
114.5 over
under. He is overperforming, man. He's lighting it up.
So what do you think this week? Do you think over 114 rushing yards or under?
Well, I said last week that there wasn't going to be a game that he didn't teeter on the 100-yard mark. So I'm going to stick with that and say I'm over
100. Okay. All right. I like that bet too. So I'm gonna roll with that because I think Nick Chubb has to pound the ball, and I think Kareem Hunt has to pound the ball for the Browns to win this game, at least I don't want to say comfortably, but just take care of business, win by one.
Yeah, I'm telling you, like, his ability to crank out 5+ yards per carry is just phenomenal. Like, it's amazing. No Trent Richardson, who big dude and had some moves, but couldn't seem to get over 4 yards ever.
Exactly. Unbelievable what he has done in his career. I think he's the only player in NFL history to have 5,000 yards on 1,000 carries and average from, you know, 5 yards or more per carry. I think he's around the 5.5 mark, which is unheard of.
And I love that we're returning to a really run oriented league too. That makes me happy.
It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's old school football. And then you get a sneaky pass play like you did to Amari Cooper, who kind of snuck out last week on that one touchdown drive. The Browns had 11 plays, 10 of them were runs, but the only pass play was like a 35 yarder to Cooper, who, you know, snuck out of the backfield, you know, and got behind the Steelers defense. So next one. This one's an interesting one. I actually meant to put Kareem Hunt / Nick Chubb, but it's Kareem Hunt and it says / Hunt, but Kareem Hunt / Nick Chubb total touches. Now, a touch means, you know, a reception or a handoff. So Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, total 34.5 touches in this game. I'm going over.
Over for sure.
Over. Okay. We're both over on that. If you guys are watching, let us know what you think. 34.5.
Now, when they run like a triple double reverse switchback,
they touch the ball. It counts. Okay. It counts. A touch is any sort of handoff, any sort of reception. So if they physically touch the ball on a play. Now, if there's a pass to them and it's an incomplete because they drop it, that does not count. It has to be something that actually, you know,
part of a positive
or even a negative play. Okay, so it cannot be an incompletion. All right. So next one, more passing yards, Jacoby Brissett or Marcus Mariota. Now they're both averaging roughly about the same passing yards per game, right around that 200 yard a game. So if you had to pick one of those two, who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Brissett, not based on statistics. I think Mariota has a better chance of getting long balls down there, so he could very easily win that if he gets a couple of breakouts. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to trust in our DBs and just shut that shit down.
Okay. All right. I am going to go with Marcus Mariota on this one, not because I don't think Jacoby Brissett will have a good game. I think our running game is going to be so solid that Jacoby Brissett is not going to have to make many pass attempts, or as many as Marcus Mariota will, to have to win this game. So Joe's going with Brissett. I'm going with Mariota. More receiving yards, Amari Cooper or Drake London, the rookie from USC, who has been, by all accounts, very, very good so far this year. What say you, Joe?
All right, I'm going with London on this one.
Okay, I am also going to go with Drake London on this one, too. I think Cooper and Njoku both coming off big games. I think they're both going to have nice games, but I don't think that we're going to see them both at that 100-yard receiving mark. Let's go to the next one. So we're both going to go Drake London on that one. David Njoku or Kyle Pitts?
Man, they better go Njoku. And it's not because I love the boy, because if Pitts takes over this game,
yep,
if he has a lot of yards, it means we lose, and
yeah,
I can't see that happening.
You saw that statistic earlier. They are, 4-12 if he is under 80 receiving yards. Yeah. So I'm going to say, even if he's at 79, he's under 80. Get David Njoku one more yard. So we're going to go, I'm going to go David Njoku on the more receiving yards.
And I do want to see Brissett take these, the tight ends and the wide receivers, and spread the ball out a little bit more.
Sure.
I want to see a little bit more of the receivers involved in the offense.
I agree. I would love to see a more spread out passing attack too. Get DPJ involved. Sure. Let's get David Bell involved.
And the missing Schwartz. He's somewhere. He's there somewhere.
He's back in SEC territory. He's an Auburn guy, and hopefully he can, you know, we're not asking much, maybe 2-3 catches, you know, move the chains. Even a deep ball shot that is there, maybe they don't even connect on it, but it gives the defense something to think about where it can stretch them a little bit, and then you can pound them in the run game.
Is very good at placing that ball so that if Schwartz doesn't hang on to it, at least nobody can get to
exactly. it. Exactly. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. So those are our looking at our lines for better or for worse. Don't bet the house on us.
Please do not.
You know, but you know, feel free to bet at your own risk. And legally,
if you win, you can split it with us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fine. If you want to choose our advice, that would totally be fine. So let's look at the AFC as a whole through 3 weeks. And again, the Bengals and the Dolphins will play tonight. The Bengals wearing those ice uniforms, all whites, white helmets and stuff. So only team 3-0. Miami Dolphins, kind of a surprise. You got the Bills 2-1. The Browns and Ravens leading the North. Surprising Jacksonville Jaguars, who just dominated the Chargers last week, are 2-1. You got the Chiefs at 2-1. The Broncos at 2-1. The Broncos are the worst 2-1 team in the league, in my opinion. And the Raiders, unfortunately, do not look good. They are 0-3 right now. There was a closed door meeting, apparently, with the owner and the coach last week. So we will see what happens this weekend. Joe, I'm going to put my picks out there for this week. You can kind of see what I picked, but I'm just going to go through each of these games real quick.
Sure.
And share my picks, but then feel free to jump in and share yours. Last week, there was a lot of upsets, and we just picked these straight up. My picks went 8-8, so I was just 500 last week based on all the upsets, and that's what the NFL is going to get you. There's going to be a ton of close games.
This is professional football. Like, just even the bad teams that are struggling can win in this league.
100%. Like, I mean, you saw what the Jets did with the Browns. Unfortunately, that's going to happen. So I have the Dolphins taking down the Bengals tonight. I think the Dolphins are just riding a hot streak, but they are coming off a very tough game against the Bills where they looked gassed. So would not surprise me if Cincinnati wins, but I'm going to go with the Dolphins in this one.
I'm with you on that one.
You're going Dolphins? Okay. All right. So both of us on the Dolphins. I'm not going to give a score prediction, but I am going to go with the Browns over the Falcons for some of the reasons I listed earlier.
I'm going to go with the Browns by 3.
Okay. So Joe with the Browns.
Just squeaking by
and
the spread.
And you got them covering too. Yeah. Yep. So, okay. Vikings and Saints.
I'll go with the Vikings.
Yeah, I like the Vikings a lot this year. I think Justin Jefferson gets back on track this week. The wide receiver's kind of been shut down the last 2 weeks. Chargers at the Texans.
Chargers is right. I'm going with you.
Chargers are a banged up football team, but they are just severely better than the Houston Texans, in my opinion. Then you got the Chicago Bears visiting the New York Football Giants. Mm-hmm. I got the Giants winning that one.
I'll go with Chicago on this
okay.
one.
Okay. All right. Justin Fields in Chicago for Joe. I'm going to go with Danny Dimes and the New York Giants. Seattle traveling to the Midwest to come to Detroit. I have the Lions. I like the Lions. I think they have a trouble in these tough close games, but they are a pretty good team, putting up a lot of points this year. I'm going Lions.
Seattle on this one.
Okay.
Detroit is always one of those teams where I like to see lose, so this is more of an emotional thing.
That's fine. Hey, nothing wrong with that. So Joe is on Seattle. I'm on the Lions for that one. Also, sticking with Sunday, we have Jacksonville visiting the Philadelphia Eagles, two really good teams early on this season. I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think they just have a more explosive offense.
I'm with you.
Okay, so we're both in agreement on that one. The Jets and the Steelers. I think this game could be very close, but I am going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers to win.
All right, I'm going with the Jets on this.
Okay.
I really want to say, see, they were really good when they beat us.
Joe. So Joe is going with his heart and in with the Jets and with the Seahawks there.
Yes, right.
That's exactly. Fine. Nothing wrong with that. We have the Titans traveling to the Colts, two teams that have been a little bit disappointing, but the Colts coming off a big win against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm going to go with the Colts. I think the Titans are pretty bad this year.
Yeah, I'm going with the Colts too.
Okay. All right. Both on the Colts. The Washington Commanders, or the Commies, whatever you want to call them, at the Dallas the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys.
This is officially the Suck Bowl. These teams are terrible. Like, well, I can't. Yeah, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
No, I'm just going to say, like, Dallas's backup quarterback has led them to two straight wins after losing their season opener. So I'm going to stick with Cooper Rush and the Cowboys to beat Carson Wentz. I just do not like him as a quarterback. So that's why I'm going with the Cowboys.
Right, I'm going to go with the Commandos.
Okay. Oh, going commando. They may or may not be wearing uniforms for that game. Yep. I have the Bills traveling and beating the Ravens in Baltimore. I think the Bills bounce back after a tough loss, but both of these offenses have been putting up huge, huge numbers.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
All right, so we're both on the Bills. Sunday afternoon, we have the Cardinals and the Panthers. I don't really like either of these teams, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals because I think they just are the better of the two teams.
Yeah, I'll go with Panthers.
Okay. Joe back on the Baker wagon.
I'll watch that game and I'll be rooting for Baker just to like that. Yeah,
he's all right. He's all right. Like, but I'm just glad.
I like when he gets backed into a corner like this because he gets mad and he plays at his best when he's pissed off.
So. Yeah. Well, I like to root for Baker. I'm just glad he's not on the Browns anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
He overthrows someone. I'm like, I'm not mad anymore. I'm like, see.
Exactly. See, we don't have that problem anymore. You guys got to deal with that shit. I have the Broncos losing to the Raiders and the Raiders getting their first win. I just think Russell Wilson is a little bit washed. I think he is got a lot of hype in the offseason. And by the way, if you ever Google or YouTube him, he's one of the weirdest dudes you will ever see. Just Google Russell Wilson and some of his pregame. Like, he pretends like he'll walk in and you know how there'll be like a tunnel of kids and stuff and you give high fives. He'll pretend to do that when there's no one there. Like, so he's practicing high-fiving. And Google, weird. Please Google Russell Wilson and, like, Bronco Nation. It is hilarious, like the hype video, you know, that they do for the scoreboards. It is awkward AF, as the kids might say. So,
all right.
So I'm going with the Raiders to get their first win in Vegas. What do you say, Joe?
I'm going to go with Broncos.
Okay, Joe's going on the Broncos bandwagon. Yep. Then we have late afternoon game, the Patriots at the Packers. I think this game's pretty easy to pick. I like the Packers pretty big. So, all right. So we are both on the Packers. The Sunday night game, which could have been moved to Minneapolis based on the hurricane, does not look like it will be moved, thankfully. And I have the Chiefs going into Tampa. I think Tampa's a little bit of a mess right now as a football team. Not quite playing to their expectation. I think Kansas City goes in and wins pretty big, especially with the distractions off the field this week for Tampa.
I'm with you.
Okay. So we're both on the Chiefs. And then Monday night, the final game of the week, we have the Los Angeles Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have really owned this matchup until the NFC Championship game last year. I'm going to stick with the LA Rams. The 49ers offensively have just looked incompetent. All right.
Well, I'm going to go with the incompetent 49ers.
Okay.
We got a little battles.
Yeah. This week. So we're going to go in and look at these, and we'll see how our picks do for next Tuesday's show.
Cool.
So, all right. Those are our NFL picks for the week. Real quick check in with the Ohio State Buckeyes. Ohio State 4-0. Rutgers 3-1 coming into this game. The Buckeyes, number 3 team in the country. The line, though, the Buckeyes are 40.5-point favorites, and the total in this game is 59 points.
Ohio, I can never bet games with lines that high. Just can't.
But okay, so the reason I'm glad you said that, because the reason I put this little like nugget in here, it says Ohio State is 8-0 all time versus Rutgers. Okay, so other than a 49-27 victory in 2020, so what, 22-point win? All of the other victories in Ohio State, so all of their 7 victories have been 35 points or more, which tells me they're going to put up a boatload of points. And if their defense can hold them down, they should be able to cover the spread. So I like Ohio State to win big. I think they will cover the spread, and I like the over in this game as well. So
yeah, see, the one thing, if you end up having to get into like a managing where your offense maybe fizzles or you get bad weather, there's no incentive to go break that spread.
Sure.
So if you're up by 2 touchdowns and you just go in conservative mode, you might lose to the spread because of
that's like stupid. Yeah. Like a backdoor touchdown that breaks the line or whatever. Right. Yeah. I totally hear you. I think, you know, obviously CJ Stroud is the Heisman favorite right now, but I think when they start putting the backups in, I think they're going to let Kyle McCord, who's the backup quarterback, throw the ball a little bit. Yeah. He's your Rudy.
He's my Rudy.
He's going to be a nice starting quarterback next year. Hopefully we don't have to use him this year, but we need to give him a lot of experience heading into next season. So, and final note on this game too, the 600th game at Ohio Stadium. So kind of a cool piece of info there. Ohio State is 467, 112, and 20. There have been 20 ties. That's pretty crazy out of 600. But obviously no more ties, so we won't have to worry about that anymore. So that's a look at Ohio State and Rutgers. Just want to give you a quick little info here on the Ohio State offense. They're averaging 8.25 yards a play this year, 8.25 yards per play. So hypothetically, they throw an incomplete pass. That means the next play, they need to get 16.5 yards. So that just shows you how much offense they're putting up. They are only 2 yards short of Tennessee, who is the number 1 offense currently in the country. And they have 27 offensive touchdowns, which is first in the NCAA through 4 games. So
just playing Ohio State, it could make you defensively look absolutely terrible. It could ruin all of your stats.
That is absolutely 100% true. And let's keep that train rolling. 558.8 yards a game. So just, so what is that? That's like 120. That's a lot of yards. Yeah. it's about 130, 140 yards a quarter. So they are putting up some huge, huge numbers. Taking a look real quick around the Big Ten this weekend, you got Rutgers at Ohio State, as I mentioned, Michigan traveling to Iowa. Iowa's offense is terrible. Their defense is good, but we'll see what Michigan does against the Hawkeyes. Purdue at Minnesota. Minnesota has looked really, really good this year. Illinois at Wisconsin. Northwestern at number 11, Penn State. Penn State really jumping up in the rankings. Michigan State travels to Maryland, and Indiana and Nebraska in kind of the stinker of the week there. So hopefully Nebraska gets back on track there for
I'm
their
sake. I'm still
a
little sad that Wisconsin's program looks like it does right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, their favorite's still to win the West. I mean, maybe Minnesota, but Buckeyes just handled them last week. And, you know, they're going to be an 8 or 9 win team when it's all said and done. But, you know, they are they really looked like the inferior opponent last week. So real quick look around the top 25 and some of the biggest matchups of this weekend, including games from the 330. You got Kentucky traveling to Ole Miss, 7-14. You got Alabama going to Arkansas. I think Alabama's going to lose in the next 3 weeks. They have three tough games coming up. Back to back to back. Arkansas, I'm trying to think who's in the middle there. And then they go to Tennessee. So it should be, I think Alabama loses one of their next three games. So I'm going to just throw that out there. Oklahoma State traveling to my former stomping grounds in Waco, Texas at Baylor, number 16. You got number 22, Wake Forest at Florida State. Should be a good matchup. Georgia, number 1, traveling to Missouri. Number 10, NC State at Clemson. That should be a really, really good game. And you got Stanford at Oregon. Those are some of the games I picked out as some of the better matchups of the week. As Austin mentioned earlier, YSU traveling to North Dakota State. So Fargo, North Carolina. That'd be a really cool place to visit. Have you ever been up that way? You went to
South Dakota. I didn't make it up to North Dakota.
Okay. But obviously South Dakota is where, what's it called? Mount Rushmore's at, right?
Yeah, right.
So North Dakota, they got Fargo. I don't know. What else they got?
I don't know. Border with Canada.
That's probably true. There's probably some hills and mountains and stuff up there, but Fargo by all accounts is a pretty cool town. And North Dakota State, the Bison, obviously one of the better teams in FCS, excuse me. You got Kent State and hosting the Ohio Bobcats. You got Akron, just about 15 minutes down the road from Kent, hosting Bowling Green. And you have Mount Union hosting Ohio Northern. Those are some of the games
now,
from
I'm
the
a little bit of a fan of Kent State. I think they held their own and they played really well against Kentucky, right?
Georgia. Yeah,
that's right.
At one point it was a 12-10 game in the second quarter, and I think they ended up losing by like 20 or something like that, but they put up 22 points against Georgia, who no other team, I think they didn't even give up 20 points total in the first three games. So
I'm going to continue watching those dudes. They're going to do well.
Yeah. So well done by Kent State, and they could be a force when it gets into the MAC. Okay. So just let's wrap this up with Thursday thoughts. And Joe, before we get into some of my thoughts, your thoughts, it's National Coffee Day today.
Oh, is it?
You're a coffee drinker. I'm a coffee drinker. We both like lame dad jokes, so I'm going to throw a few at you.
Oh, yes, All right. Bring it.
So I got five of them.
Okay.
All right, and I wrote these down this afternoon. So did you know why the coffee filed charges with the police?
Why?
You want to give a guess?
No.
It was being mugged every day. All right, there's one lame one.
I wasn't going to guess that. Come on. If you don't know the dad joke, it's not like you're going to arrive at this.
What do you call a sad cup of coffee? A depresso. How does here's a little religious joke for you. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it.
He brews it. Nice.
All right. I do my best thinking while I'm drinking. Okay. You know why?
Why?
Because I have a latte on my mind.
Latte.
And this is really isn't a joke, but I just want to say I appreciate everyone out there watching and supporting Youngstown Studio and our show. I really cannot espresso enough how much I appreciate all you guys. So there's my five lame coffee jokes of the day on National Coffee Day.
I haven't given a Watson massage quote here lately, and it's been like three shows.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I'll think of one for next time.
Okay.
I'll do my duty.
That's good. Okay. And you know what? I'm kind of okay with you not giving the massage jokes out. Yeah. I had more to say on that, but I'm just going to stop.
No.
It's good. So I expect if you guys have any lame ass coffee jokes, please share them with us.
We love lame dad jokes.
Let me just give a few news and notes, and then I'm going to have you share a few thoughts here. So Aaron Judge last night hit his 61st home run. That is ties the most in American League baseball history, 61 home runs, tying Roger Maris of the New York Yankees. So just an unbelievable mark there. That is the most in American League history. As I mentioned, only the seventh person to hit that many in all of history of baseball. So pretty cool. And he's got a few days to break that record. And he gave the ball to his mom. He hit the home run. And, you know, a lot of times it'll go in the stands. It actually went in the Toronto Blue Jays bullpen. So he got it back without having to give anything up. So that is a double win right there. Nice. for Aaron Judge. Another one. This is an interesting one. Steve Ballmer is the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. He is the richest owner in all of sports, $83 billion roughly. Dan Gilbert of the Cavs was number two on this list. As most people know, he owns Quicken Loans, and that company lost a ton of value last year because of the stock market. So he actually went from number two to number six on this list, but I'm sure he'll be just fine. Yeah. I don't think too many people are worried about him. As I mentioned, today's National Coffee Day. Joe, you're a coffee drinker. Yes. What is your go-to coffee drink of choice?
I have my own. I make my own. Like, yeah? It's sort of like an espresso, but I also mix it with like Americano. So it's Americano with extra espresso.
And for those who don't know, basically an Americano is just espresso and water, right?
Right.
So
like a four espresso Americano is what I call it.
I like a latte, but I hate when they over put in like too much sugars.
Yeah.
Is not good for anybody. But like every now and then a latte with some oat milk and maybe like a pump or two of like caramel or vanilla, or even now, I guess you're in the PSL time. So that is always
that seems like a very good big girl drink. Like, do you wear yoga pants when you get that
drink? I do. You know what I do? And then I go get my nails done after that.
Oh, nice. So. Nice.
So that is those are our go-to drinks. Although I just like a good black coffee from Dunkin'
Donuts.
There you
go. Black coffee. Put your cowboy hat on and spit in the spittoon. That's all.
I try not to stereotype anyone here based on their drinks of choice.
That's my job.
So yeah, that's you. And then final thing, are you watching anything right now?
No, nothing.
Well, we're almost in the season 5 trailer for Yellowstone.
Yes.
Has come out. So that is coming out in the next month or so. But I got to tell you, I just finished up Cobra Kai. Cobra Kai is like the spinoff to The Karate Kid. Just finished up its 5th season. If anybody out there watches this stuff, they're about 30-minute shows, so you can crank it out in a week, really.
Here comes a Watson. Never mind. Go ahead.
Oh, no, crank it out. No. So Cobra Kai, I just want to say, if you like The Karate Kid, this is kind of my guilty pleasure show because it is so bad, it's good. It is so cheesy, and it's just really a good show. If you like kind of like a little bit of drama it's kind of a comedy dramedy, I guess you could call it. But it's really entertaining, and this season picked up with a lot of action. So Cobra Kai, highly recommend it if you like that cheesy, funny, entertaining, good laugh. And then I'm just going to put one more plug out there for a great show. If you loved or like why can't I think of the name? Game of Thrones, one of the best shows ever on TV. The last season was a little bit of a dud, but House of the Dragon is the prequel to that show. It is fantastic. So those are my two things I'm kind of watching right now, and thought I'd throw that out there as a plug. So Joe, we'll get back on the Yellowstone train, and we can talk a little Rip and
drink
the,
some bourbon.
Dutton family, and actually. I see we got the bullet here.
Yes.
That's pretty much what the Dutton family drinks.
That's it. That's why it's here.
So those are our thoughts for the games and stuff this weekend. So everybody enjoy your weekend. We will be back next Tuesday, and we'll have plenty more for you then. Everybody have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate